In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon texts are Old Testament reading, Zechariah 9, and our first gospel reading, John chapter 12. Brothers and sisters in Christ, sir, we want to see Jesus, some of the Greeks said to Philip, just two short verses after our first gospel reading for today. Well, a lot of people want to see Jesus. I mean, there's a huge crowd in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover, and they went out and welcomed him with shouts and songs of Psalm 119 and Psalm 118 and Zechariah chapter 9. Many of those people had heard that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. But those Greeks did not get to see or speak with Jesus. Because in response to Philip and Andrew, Jesus says, my hour has come. That is, the preparation is over. Jesus is done doing the signs that point to what he has come to do. Now, he's actually going to do it. He's going to fulfill it. Jesus doesn't completely deny the Greeks, though. But he does tell them where they are going to have to look if they want to see him. No more merely standing on the sidelines and observing him as if he's a good teacher. No more simply looking at Jesus to try to satisfy your own personal curiosity and your own physical need. Now, in this hour, there's only one place from henceforward to see Jesus rightly. Only one place to see him in all of his glory on the cross. There's no other place to look, nowhere else where you can possibly see how God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so now must the Son of Man be lifted up. And when he is high and lifted up on the earth, then he will draw all people, Jews and Greeks, Jews and Gentiles, to himself as Savior. Then the Father's name is truly glorified as Jesus is enthroned as King. The events of Palm Sunday are not events of a different kind than the events of Thursday and Friday. In fact, John tells us Palm Sunday literally cannot be understood apart from Jesus' glorification on the cross. It was only when Jesus was glorified that the disciples remembered and understood the things that had been written about him and the things that were done to him. If you don't look at the crucifixion, you will misunderstand Jesus is riding on a donkey. If you don't look at the crucifixion, you will misunderstand Jesus' words. If you don't look at the crucifixion, you will miss the entire point. And the reason for this lies in the nature of the world. Jesus himself says that there is another ruler of this world. It's not God he's talking about. It's the evil one. And let's be honest, it looks as if the evil one has an iron grip on what people do and say and think in this world. He comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that's what we see in the world. He lies, and the world is full of falsehood. But Jesus' hour means that the hour has come for the judgment of this world and for the casting out of this ruler. The crucifixion is the crucifying of the world in the body of its creator. It means that the truth has come to put an end to falsehood. It means that the giver of all good things has come to give back what has been stolen. The life has come to put an end to death. by his own death on the cross. And the one through whom all things were made has come to crush the head of the destroyer, even though it appears like Jesus' own destruction. So the king rides into Jerusalem. The king of Israel, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Your king is coming, riding on a donkey. And he is not the king only of Israel, but of everyone. The Pharisees say that the world has gone after Jesus. But they are wrong. The world, as it was, and as it is, will never go after Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, but the world likes its sin just fine. Thank you very much. The light has come into the world, but the world loves darkness more than it loves light, because their evil works will be exposed. Even so, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, not yet, but in order that it might be saved through him. He is the love of God for the world, that the world might be saved through the love of God, high and lifted up upon the cross. That's how God loves the world. The Son of Man is lifted up just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. The crucifixion of Jesus is the glorification of God, because that is the one place in this world where the love of God is full and open and on display for all to see. And Jesus says, the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. At one time, you and I belonged to this world. We were not only in the world, but we were of the world. We thought its thoughts. We spoke its words. We did its evil deeds. At one time, the ruler of this world ruled over us. We were lost and condemned and destined for hell. But the Father of all mercies and grace has lavished his love upon us. He has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of his salvation. He has placed the mark of the cross on our foreheads and on our hearts. He has said, you are mine. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you were delivered from the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God's own Son. And now you and I, we have a new king. We hate our lives in this world because our sinful flesh cannot be separated from this world. We hate our lives lived in the constant struggling against sin and death and the short-lived ruler of this world. Why is it the things that I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing? Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? We hate our lives that are not yet fully conformed to the life of Jesus. We hate our lives that do not yet look like eternal life with our eternal Lord. But those who hate their life in this world will keep it until eternal life. And their cry is always, we want to see Jesus. And where Jesus is, his servants will be. We want to see Jesus. And so we follow Jesus, our King, as he rides in on a donkey in lowly pomp, riding on to die. He enters into Jerusalem, and it is but the beginning of his triumphs over captive death and sin. This is the beginning of the triumphal journey. but it is not the journey's end. Today, for now, on this journey, our King keeps his promise to us. The bread that he gave for the life of the whole world, he gives to each of us today to eat. His flesh is that bread. And as we follow in the way of his suffering, dying, rising in triumph, we see that this is our life in this world too. Death's doors are broken open. So we will walk ever more fervently toward Easter and the triumph of Jesus. Hell's gates are broken down, so hell has no fury for us at all. And when the end of our journey comes, when Jesus returns and raises our lowly mortal bodies to be like his glorious immortal body, then we will finally see the glory that Jesus has prepared for us in his own glorification. We want to see Jesus. So until that day, we will continue to walk this way from the gates of Jerusalem with palms and hosannas to the upper room where the glorious meal of Jesus' flesh and blood is anticipated, to the cross where the new covenant is put into effect and the victory is won, to the new garden where death is no more and the tombs themselves are emptied. We want to see Jesus. So this week, we will continue to learn the hatred of our lives in this world. But we will also learn, again, the victory and the feasting and the joy of which our eternal life will consist. Jesus reigns. He is our King. The judgment of this world has come. The ruler of this world has been cast outside of the new creation. And eventually, the whole world will indeed go after him into her glorious restoration. And then, there, you will lack nothing. Only endless rejoicing. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. No more mourning, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more sin, no more death. The old will have passed away, and the second and greatest Palm Sunday will have begun. In Jesus' name, amen.